Good morning. Our scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. If you do not have a Bible with you today, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you. And if you do not have your own personal copy of God's Word, there should be some at the front. Please pick one up today as you leave as our gift to you. I will be reading from the English Standard Translation, and if you're able, please stand as we read. Matthew 13, verses 31 through 35. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all garden plants and becomes a tree, so that birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened." All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you, Ben. Matthew 13, and if you would, keep your Bibles open because we're going to look at a few verses there in Matthew as we study these two parables together. So let's pray and ask for the Lord to help us today. Father, the word that we have just heard, the word that we have just read, your precious word tells us that when Christ came and he taught, and specifically when he taught in parables, that one of the things that he was doing was revealing things that had been hidden. Not so much because you were keeping them from us, but we could not see them. In our darkness, in our blindness, in our sin, in our depravity, we cannot know, we cannot see, we cannot glory in the most brilliant and wonderful things of all, the things of the kingdom, the things of the gospel, the things of Christ. And he came, and that's what Christmas is about. He came to show us, to reveal to us, to preach to us, to teach us, to save us. So what a wonderful time. These aren't necessarily Christmas texts, but we are looking at Christ, and that's what Christmas is all about. Help us to see these few verses with the wonderful truths in which they contain, the wonderful things in which they reveal, that our hearts might be filled with the joy and peace that only Christ can give, that we would leave here rejoicing in Christ, we would leave here knowing Christ, embracing Christ, loving Christ. And for that, Father, we need you to continue to do that great work of grace in our hearts. Would you build your church today? Would you save your people today? Would you bless your word today, the hearing of it, the preaching of it, the receiving of it? Lord, would you, by your Spirit, attend every aspect of our time left together this morning so that you might be glorified, you and you alone. God, that we might be changed. So we are asking, God, for your help. We're asking for your grace. We're asking that we might, Father, see, and that we might love, and we might rejoice in the things that are the greatest treasures of all. And we ask all of this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So Matthew 13, we're studying through the Gospel of Matthew together. Matthew 13 contains seven parables that Jesus told. And we've already studied two, the parable of the soils and the parable of the weeds. Last week I talked about weed more than I've ever talked about weed in my life. About halfway through the sermon, I thought to myself, I just keep talking about weed. Have anybody else picked up on that? I don't know. It wasn't that weed. It wasn't that weed. It was weed. You never know what you'll hear in church, right? When those two parables Jesus is talking about, he's teaching about who makes up the kingdom of heaven. How can you tell who are the citizens of the kingdom of heaven? In the parable of the soils, Jesus taught us, it tells us that the citizens of the kingdom, they truly receive the word of God. They embrace the word of God. They take the word of God and apply it in their lives, and therefore they bear fruit. They truly bear fruit and give evidence and indication that they are indeed followers of Christ. The parable of the weeds that we looked at last week, it tells us that the kingdom citizens are planted by the Son. They originate from the Son. The Son of Man is the one who plants those good plants, that wheat. The sons and the daughters are from the Son. They bear fruit for the Son. And then in the end, at harvest, they are collected by, they are received by, they are welcomed by the Son. Now, in these next two parables that you've heard read today, Jesus is not teaching about the citizenry of the kingdom. He's teaching about the nature of the kingdom. So now we've moved into another aspect of the kingdom of heaven. And he's talking about the nature of the kingdom itself. Now I want us to look at some verses of Scripture. Look back with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. I want you to see a theme that runs through this gospel. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, this is the sermon. This is the sermon manuscript of John the Baptist when he came to announce, to prepare the way of the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. In verse 2, his sermon was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now look with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Jesus arrives on the scene and Jesus begins to preach. And we have here recorded in verse 17 his sermon manuscript. This is the message that Jesus began to preach, verse 17 says, and he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now look with me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus calls disciples to follow him and he begins to send them out into ministry to continue the work of the gospel. And in verse 7, he tells them, he hands them their sermon manuscript. And here is their sermon in verse 7. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you see the continuity of the same message. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching about in these seven parables, the kingdom of heaven. Now, in one sense, Jesus himself is the kingdom of heaven. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one. In one sense, when Jesus says, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's referring to him being there, preaching. He is salvation and life. In another real sense, the coming of Jesus, Jesus' coming, his advent that we're celebrating in Christmas time, It represents the coming of the kingdom. The coming of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is in his first coming inaugurating that eternal, everlasting, spiritual kingdom of heaven on earth. And he will consummate that kingdom at his second advent, his second coming. He will bring everything to conclusion. He will bring everyone and every kingdom and everything under his rule, and he will reign forevermore. So he has, in a very real sense, what we're celebrating in Christmas is that Christ did, in a very real sense, when he came, he brought heaven to earth. And he will complete that in its fullness when he returns. He has initiated then in his first coming, he initiated this coming of the kingdom that will eventually reign over every other kingdom. And so the message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is announcing this arrival of the king, this arrival of the kingdom, this everlasting, eternal kingdom that would be a kingdom above all other kingdoms. But in Jesus' day, many people, and in our day as well, many people could not see that. They could not recognize the coming of Jesus as the coming of a kingdom. It sure did not look like the kingdom of heaven to them. Jesus did not look like a king. I always tell people, you know, you see these wonderful paintings of Christ, and in all of these paintings, from the manger scene throughout his life and ministry, there's always a halo on top of his head. In real life, he did not walk around with a glowing halo on top of his head. He did not look like a king. He looked like a peasant. His following did not look like a kingdom. This did not look like a king's court. This did not look like the knights of a round table. This was a ragtag bunch of fishermen. Looked like a group of wanderers roaming from town to town, place to place. Where was the grandeur? Where was the fanfare? Where was the glory? Where was the conquering and the overthrowing of Rome? This was no kingdom in the eyes of many. This was no kingdom. What Jesus is teaching in these two parables is that the fullness of the kingdom did not come and does not come at once, but rather in process, over time. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't miss the kingdom because you're looking for the end result and you're missing the kingdom of heaven by missing the beginnings of the kingdom of heaven. Small beginnings, large endings. The kingdom of heaven may begin in a small, seemingly insignificant way, but in the end, when it reaches its fullness, it will encompass all. So don't miss the kingdom of heaven because you just didn't understand it begins in smallness until it reaches its fullness. And he began relating that truth by telling these two parables. First of all, the parable of the mustard seed. Now, this is my opportunity to explain to everyone at Grassy Pond who just cannot figure out why Pastor Will does not eat Duke's mayonnaise. I don't like to see it. I don't like to smell it. I don't like to taste it. I don't like anything about mayonnaise, and here's why. Verse 31, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. He says nothing about mayonnaise in all four gospels. That's my spiel. So, the mustard seed and the kingdom of heaven, the mustard seed is the smallest, the tiniest of all garden seeds. But once it is planted, It grows and it grows until it outgrows. It grows and it grows until it outgrows all other garden plants. Indeed, it grows so far beyond garden plants that it becomes more like a tree than a plant. In fact, so much so that birds of the air will make their nest in a mustard plant. They don't make their nest in a corn stalk or in a turnip plant, but they'll make their nest in a mustard plant because it grows so large. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is just like that. It has a small beginning when compared to other kingdoms. It doesn't begin by conquest. It doesn't begin by military coup. Its growth will continue, though, and continue until it overcomes all other kingdoms. The point of the parable of the mustard seed is extensive growth. The kingdom of heaven is like that, from the tiniest seed to the largest plant. From the tiniest to the largest, that extensive growth that the mustard goes through, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like that. Take Jesus for example, the very person of the kingdom, the very king of the kingdom. Look at his beginnings. Look at his beginning here on the earth. In fact, that is what this season is all about. We celebrate all month long his beginning, his entrance into the earth, into humanity. It began with his conception in a little known virgin girl named Mary. He was birthed in a stable. He was laid as a baby in a manger. He came into this world in what we sing today as, "Oh, little town of Bethlehem." Only a handful, only a few shepherds. Imagine that. The King of Glory was on the earth in human form, and only a handful of shepherds were there to see it. Tiny. Talk about small beginnings. But that kingdom has experienced extensive growth since its beginning. In fact, from that first nativity there in Bethlehem that was hardly witnessed by any of humanity is today represented by nativity sets all over the world. Millions of people look at nativities today. A very few handful looked at the first one. Extensive growth. There are far more witnesses today than a handful of shepherds. In fact, on this very day, on this Lord's day, all around the globe, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, in this 24-hour period of time, the Lord Jesus Christ will be praised on every continent and in a multitude of languages. Extensive growth. In cathedrals and in chapels, in churches and in homes, in storefronts and under shade trees and in secret underground locations. All over this world. Now it started with just a handful of shepherds. And all over this world, people gather by numbers such as today, people gather in small numbers, in secret numbers, in large numbers, in mega numbers, all over the world for Christ, to worship Christ, to magnify the Lord, to glorify the Lord. The choir will gather tonight and they will sing of the Christmas story through song. They will sing about Christ. That little beginning in a manger in the Middle East, out of sight far away has experienced such extensive growth that it has now reached even grassy pond. Can you imagine that? All the way from Bethlehem, all the way the kingdom of heaven has grown extensively from that tiny little town in Bethlehem. It has continued this extensive growth until even in Gaffney, people gather to praise Christ. Jesus said, look at that mustard seed. That's just like the kingdom of heaven. Take the believer, for example, the citizen of the kingdom. Look how the kingdom of heaven grows extensively in each believer. Oh, it begins in such a small, seemingly insignificant beginning. It's a hidden thing. It's a secret thing when the kingdom of heaven begins within each individual believer. It begins in the heart. It's a heart work. It's secret. It's not seen. It's not visible. It's a work of the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God, applying it to the heart, transforming the heart. The grace of God begins this work of salvation, and it begins with such a little small work, just a little prayer. Just a little surrender, just a little bowing of the head and giving of the self, maybe even privately with no one else around. But then the growth comes. That new heart issues forth into a new life, and attitude begins to change, and mindset begins to change, and habit begins to change, and vocabulary begins to change, and lifestyle begins to change, and the heart has changed. And what began with such a little beginning has experienced such extensive growth that what you have now is nothing less than a brand new creation. It just started with a little small seed. And this is an entirely different person now. Take the church itself, the body of Christ, for example. Why, it began in Jerusalem. After the resurrection, the church began. Just one city, Jerusalem. Just one church. Just one congregation, just one group of followers, just one people in one town that were gathering together to worship Christ. And they were met with heavy resistance. Oh, the religious zealots of the day, they pledged to stamp out this new religion they were calling the Way. I wonder where they got that name from, the Way. But they found that the more they pressed these people of the Way, the more they pressed them, the more they grew. So they pressed even harder, and they persecuted the church, the book of Acts tells us, so heavily that the believers then were forced to flee from Jerusalem. They were forced to flee to other towns and other places and even other countries. And by the way, when they left, they took Jesus with them, and the Christian church spread like wildfire. And Paul comes along after being one of those persecutors, and he's traveling literally all over what he saw as the world, planting churches. And even to this day, there are nations and tyrants and dictators and village chiefs who vow to put an end to this Christian faith, to this new faith, to this new way, only to see it continue to grow. You cannot stop the church. You know why? Because the people of God are the kingdom of heaven on earth. the body and bride of Christ. Look at the extensive growth of the church. That's the parable of the mustard seed. Then he gives, secondly, the parable of the leaven. Leaven and the kingdom in verse 33. That's yeast. Just a little yeast will transform the entire lump of dough. It will make it into something different. It's interesting. Just a little yeast put into a large lump of dough will make it, that little yeast will make that large lump of dough into something different. It will actually cause that dough to be able to do what it could not do by itself. What it could not do before, it can do now because of just a little yeast. So the point of this parable is not like the mustard seed. The mustard seed represented extensive growth. This parable represents radical transformation, radical change. Jesus said, that whole dough is changed by just a little yeast. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is just like that. It's just like that. It will slowly move. It may have this a tiny beginning. It may just be a little bit, but it will slowly move into every sphere, and it will permeate, and it will saturate, and it will affect, and it will totally transform. Just like that little yeast, it doesn't appear to be that powerful. It doesn't appear to be that influential. It doesn't appear to be able to do what it can do. I mean, we can see it affecting this part of the dough, but the whole dough? But it spreads, it moves, and it brings radical change. Take Jesus, for example, the very person of the kingdom, the very king of the kingdom. What a small, seemingly inconsequential beginning. Who would have thought that all of this that has happened in the last 2,000 years would have happened coming from a homeless Jewish man preaching on the side of a mountain in an obscure place, just a mountainside? Oh, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they were convinced. We've already seen this in the Gospel of Matthew, haven't we? They were convinced. They were plotting. They were scheming already by Matthew 13 to put an end to him, to silence him, to kill him. They were convinced that if you just can get him out of the picture, then all of his teachings and all of his followers, they will eventually disappear and go away and fall totally out of the picture of history. We can remove him and all of his teaching and followers if we just silence and put an end to him. Little did they know that killing him was actually part of the grand plan of redemption. That they were actually, in their evil scheming, they were actually working towards the end for which God had planned. Surely once he's dead, he'll be forgotten, they thought. What they failed to consider was that if he was indeed the Son of God, death could not stop him. The grave could never keep him. And if his followers believed him before he rose, if they loved him before he rose from the dead, how much more would they love him seeing him alive? How much more would they believe him seeing him alive? How much more would they give their lives to the way, seeing the way alive? He didn't seem to be much. In some eyes, But he sure brought radical transformation, so much that those first disciples loved and believed in him so much, they gave their lives. They let go of everything of the world and gave their lives. Take the believer, for example, the citizen of the kingdom. He's just one person. She's just one person. That's just one radical follower of Christ. That just one person can't make that big of a difference. And yet entire families have come to Christ because one family member was radically saved. Churches have seen revival inside of churches when a church member has become radically saved. Schools have seen revival when one student becomes radically saved. Entire nations, entire villages have been won into the kingdom because of one believer who was radically following Christ. Think about that believer herself. Her friends thought, oh, that Jesus stuff, she's all hyped up about Jesus right now, but that'll eventually go. That's like everything else in her life. You know, she hops on the train here and there, and that'll go away. Just give her time. A few months, she'll be on something else. But it didn't go away. They went away, but Jesus didn't go away. Rather, it moved, the kingdom of heaven moved into every sphere of her life. Until there's even something different about her countenance. She looks like a different person. She's been transformed by grace. Take the church, for example, the people of God. As long as there is a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, God-fearing local church in a community, the truth will always be present. Grace will always be present. The gospel will always be present, and transformation will always be present. Dads will be transformed into caring fathers and loving husbands. Moms will be transformed into nurturing mothers and loving wives. Children and students will be transformed into lovers of God above self and beyond the approval of their peers. Marriages will be rescued. Those deceived by the false ideology and idolatry of our society will be delivered. It just takes a little leaven. It just takes one little church to see massive change, see massive transformation in lives and homes and families and communities in the world. Jesus said, that leaven, that's just like the kingdom of heaven. It's just like that. It looks insignificant, but you put it in the dough and it changes the entire lump of dough. That's the kingdom of heaven. And then we see this summary of the parable ministry of Jesus in verses 34 and 35, parables and the kingdom of heaven. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophets. That's one of the key words in Matthew, isn't it? Fulfill. He's constantly reminding his readers that everything Jesus is doing and saying is fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament. He's quoting there from the prophet. You see, the parable, it's just a little thing. It's like the mustard seed. It's just a tiny thing. It's like the leaven. It's just a little bit. It's just a little story. The parable is just a little story. In fact, these two parables only take up three verses. They're just little stories. And yet they contain massive, life-changing, eternal truth. There are several layers to these verses that I want us to see, because the parable, we've talked about Jesus teaching in parables, and we talked about what a dynamic teaching method that is, because it by telling these earthly stories, it takes these eternal truths and it makes them easy to grasp, easy to understand, easy to remember, easy to take home with you when you can take it home as an illustration. There's a wonderful teaching method, but Matthew's revealing to us there's more going on than Jesus thinking, now what's the best way to teach these people? Okay, parables. Let's try parables. There's a lot more going on here. In fact, there's much going on. I want us to see a few layers here. First, the first layer is let's just remind ourselves and let's just see again that the fact that Jesus taught in these little parables was telling a huge truth. He's the one. That's Matthew's point here, isn't it? He says, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill. So the first level of the parable ministry of Jesus is that when you see the man walking around and he's teaching and he's constantly telling parables, guess what? That's what the Old Testament said. That's him. Believe him. Listen. He's the one. He's the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the Savior. That's the first layer. Let's go to the second layer of what this prophecy about teaching in parables revealed about Jesus' ministry of parables. So he wasn't just demonstrating that he's the fulfillment of the prophecy, he was also fulfilling the prophecy. When Jesus told a parable, he was revealing truths. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. He was revealing the things that had been overlooked, the things that had been neglected, the things that had been unknown, the things we were unable to see because of our blindness and darkness and sin. Jesus was exposing the truth, unveiling the truth, unwrapping for us the gift, revealing in what he was teaching. When he said the kingdom of heaven is like, he was teaching something wonderful that people hadn't considered. They hadn't considered, oh, the kingdom of heaven may begin small and then have extensive growth. It may be just a little insignificant thing, but yet it will totally transform. And that's just one part. That's just two parables. The third layer is that the parable itself is like the kingdom. I think that's why Matthew says this where he says this instead of after all the parables he tells. He interjects this here after these two parables because it's kind of like the kingdom. It seems like a small story, but in truth, it's the grandest of all stories. How about a story about a mustard seed? What can that mean? What difference can that make? What about a story about a little yeast? How big can that be? A story about the kingdom of heaven told by none other than the King himself. That's the point of these couple of verses here. These are stories. These parables are stories about the kingdom, and they're being told to you by the King. It is the most wonderful thing ever heard. If all that Jesus ever said was, let me tell you about a mustard seed and let me tell you about some yeast, it would have been the most precious words ever uttered. He was the king. And he was here to tell us about the kingdom. Don't miss the kingdom of heaven. I guess that's the message for Christmas, isn't it? Don't miss Christ this Christmas. Let's pray.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.